Vishnu Sahasranama, name number 18. One name of Vishnu, which is given in this third verse, Yogo Yoga Vidam Neta Pradhana Purusheshvaraha Narasingha Vapu Sriman Keshavah Purushottamaha. So in this third verse, the first name is the 18th name, Yogaha. Krishna, one name of Krishna, Vishnu, is Yoga. As we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva para yogaha, Narayana paro yogo, yogaha, it would be, if we take it out of the verse. So, Vasudeva, Narayana, is yoga, is the supreme yoga. What does that mean? Yoga, we generally take this to mean linking. Yoga yuktir. Yoga yuktihi, we find that term in Bhagavad Gita. So, it also means the means, or the method of achieving something. So that's another meaning. And other meanings are fitness, in the sense of yogyata, to be fit for something, or eligible for something. Remedy, these are some different meanings. So the name of Krishna, yoga, means that different commentators have analyzed that everything is possible only by Krishna. That's why we may say, I will do this or I will do that. But actually everything depends on Him. Which is why in Islam there's the saying, Inshallah. I will do this or that, Inshallah, if Allah allows it or so desires it. So, the yogis, they attempt to become liberated by performing yoga, but ultimately it depends on His grace. And therefore, bhakti yoga is in all ways the best process of yoga, because the ultimate goal of yoga is Krishna, which is another reason why His name is Yoga. He is the actual object to be linked with. The other yogis, they don't really know what they're supposed to be linking with even. So, as the great sage Stephen Covey says, start with the goal in mind. You should know where you're aiming for. So, bhakti yoga is the best because from the beginning one knows where one's going. And Krishna is particularly pleased to help the bhakti yogis. One reason is because the other kinds of yogis, karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, or dhyana yogis, they have a sense of independence from Krishna. They don't want to achieve Krishna, and they think that they're doing it by themselves. Whereas the bhakti yogi is fully dependent on Krishna. And everything is fully dependent on Krishna, so it makes sense to accept that one is fully dependent on Krishna. So Krishna reciprocates with the bhakti yogi. Teshang satata yuktanang bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna helps those who are very sincere and serious to serve Him. And He also helps those who are not sincere and serious to serve Him, but they don't get the same result because they don't desire it. So Krishna is the means for becoming liberated. He is the goal of liberation, and more generally the shastras or the in the higher level, they aim at liberation, but at the highest level, beyond liberation, is bhakti. Bhakti yoga means linking with Krishna. Yoga means the linking process and the linking itself. So generally we don't say that the pure devotees are bhakti yogis because they're not sadhakas. They're not trying to come to the platform of perfection. They're siddha. They've already attained that. But they may be called bhakti yogi in as much as they are linked with Krishna by bhakti. So I'm not going to read all the commentaries here. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that Bhagavan is called yoga because the devotee's mind becomes one with him when the devotee meditates on him. In other words, one becomes so much absorbed in Krishna that one is not thinking of anything but Krishna, so one is fully linked with him. That in that sense, the devotee becomes one with Krishna because he cannot think of anything but Krishna at any point. Then, name 19. Yoga Vidam Neta. He leads those who practice yoga until they reach their goal. Neta is, in modern English, Indian languages, and in Sanskritum, is understood to mean leader. But it's derived from the same meaning as the word English to lead, means to guide others, taking the head position to guide others toward their desired destination. So he himself is not practicing yoga, but he leads those who practice yoga toward their goal and takes them up to their goal. Again, tesham satata yuktanam, he helps them, he delivers them. Ananyas chintayanto mang ye janah paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Those who undeviatingly meditate on me, Krishna says, those who worship me in this way, I give them yoga, yuktanam, yoga kshemam. So name 20, pradhana purusheshvara. Pradhana means matter in its primordial state. And purusha in this context means the jivas. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan. Here in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, the subject of kshetra and kshetragya, purusha and prakriti, is discussed in detail. And in this context, purusha means the jiva. So everything in this material world is composed of prakriti and purusha, or matter and the jivas. And Krishna is the lord of both. Prakritiṃ purushaṃ caiva vidhyanādo ubhāvapi. Krishna says, I am the master of both of them. So everything in existence in this material world is produced from raw matter, and animation is there because of the contact with the jiva, with the living force. But above them all is Krishna. Now, it means he's the controller. So other meanings, pradhana also means chief. So we can say that this name could also, I don't see that any of the commentators have given this meaning, but I don't see why it can't be given. He is the chief of the Purusheshvaras. In other words, there are many leaders of the people in this world, but the chief of all of them is Krishna. He's the lord of all of those who are the lords of others. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, in explaining this verse, he would often say that there are many controllers in this world, but the supreme controller above all of them is Krishna. So that's Raja Rajeshwara, the king of the kings. There are kings of kings. An emperor is called there may be many sub-kings, and above them all is one emperor, but above them all is Krishna. Okay, now name 21. Narasingha Vapu. Narasingha means the man lion form of the Lord. Vapu specifically means form. So in the Vishnu Sahasranam, this is the first name of a specific form of Vishnu that is mentioned. The name Vishnu has been mentioned, but this is the first of the name of a specific avatar. There are several famous avatars: Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurama, Vamana. So some of the names of the famous avatars will be mentioned. This is the first mentioned. Narasingha Vapu, he means he who has the body, or he who is the body of a man and a lion combined, one of the very famous forms of the Lord and very dear to the devotees. I mean, there are many forms, but we can see that some are more attractive to and more dear to the devotees, even though they're all the same Vishnu. Just like we don't find many worshippers of Matsya avatar. In fact, I don't know any temple of specifically of Matsya. There's one Kurmakshetra in the far north of the Telugu-speaking country. And Vamana, we find some temples in Kanchi. There's also Vamana temple. But Narasimha is very widely worshipped. Well, one reason for that is that he protects his devotees. So in this dangerous world, devotees always turn to Nrsimha for perfection. He's also prayed to Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Tejas Tejasai Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Nakha Vajra Dangshar Kam Ashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamokasakrasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyashta Om Shrom, which verse gives the purport of the name Bhakti Vigna Vinashana. He is for the devotee who finds obstacles in his practice of bhakti, Nrsimha is the destroyer. Now, Hiranyakashipu was not an obstacle in Prahlad's bhakti, because bhakti is by nature ahaituki, apratihata. It cannot be stopped under any circumstances. But for us, we find obstacles in the form of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. So, Nrisimhadev, we pray to him to remove those obstacles, just like he killed the demon Hiranyakashipu, Shila Tankana Kalaya, with his nails, which are like chisels. He Hiranyakashipur Vaksha, Shila, with Hiranyakashipu's chest was hard, very hard. See, Indra's thunderbolt, would Hiranyakashipu would just laugh at that. Indra's thunderbolt which breaks mountains. But Hiranyakashipu was so strong, his chest was so hard. Only the nails of Nrisimhadev could break that. So if we find that our hearts are so hard that despite hearing and chanting about Krishna, they do not melt as they should, then we should pray to Nrisimhadev that my heart is hardened by material desires. So you, just as you appeared to destroy the demon Hiranyakashipu, you kindly appear within my hardened heart and remove all those hard obstacles toward loving devotion to you. Of course, so many things could be said about Narasimhadev. Another important point that we learn from Narasimha Avatar is that he appears as he likes, when he likes, how he likes. He is, as Vamana, he's born as the son of Kashyap and Aditi. As Rama, he's born as the son of Kaushalya and Dasarath. Sutapa and Vrishni, the Prishnigarbha, he appeared as their son. Vasudeva and Devaki, who's the father and mother of Nrisimhadev? The pillar. He appears as... He really doesn't have any father or mother, but he... So he just appeared. He wasn't a scheduled avatar, but he just appeared. Okay, I had enough of that rascal, Hiranyakashipu. Time to rip him to pieces. Also, his form is unpredictable. Who will imagine that God will appear as a fish or a hog? Or in this case, as a half man, half lion. As who would imagine that there is or could be such a form? But he has appeared like that. Another point is, that's the next name, Sriman, means very beautiful. So anyway, we'll discuss that in a minute. So he appears as he likes, how he likes, in various forms. His forms, he appears for various purposes. Lila avatars, they appear for various purposes. So Vamana appeared as a beautiful Brahmana boy to enchant the mind of Bali and cheat him. As a fish, he appeared to save the Vedas from the waters of deluge. As a hog, he appeared. It's very practical for digging down in the depths of the ocean to pick up the earth. So the form Narasimha, he also appeared, is very suitable for ripping that rascal Hiranyakashipu to pieces. And also so that he could sit down very nicely, as a man can. A lion cannot sit down. Because he had to rip apart Hiranyakashipu, neither on the land nor the sky nor the water to fulfill Brahma's benediction. So on the lap of Narasimha fulfilled that condition. His forms are all divine. They remove the fear of his devotees. They're divine. They're not subject to what we think God should be. We think, well, God should be like this, or God. From time to time, you'll see in newspapers or magazines, they do some survey. Well, what do you think of God? And someone says, well, I think God is blah 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 blah. But he's not not subject to what we think he is or he should be. He is as he is, according to what he likes to be. And devotees accept him as he is. There's this saying, you should be what you are. Just be as you, be natural, be as you are. But it's not possible in the material world because we're all imitating the position of the enjoyer. He's the supreme enjoyer. As he likes, as he desires, he takes various forms. If he wants to be a fish, he's a fish. Wants to be a tortoise, he's a tortoise. Wants to be half man, half lion, he's like that, as he likes. But he appears in this world not simply selfishly, but specifically to benedict his devotees. Every one of his forms is fully transcendental, all auspicious for the world. Although in most forms he doesn't. He only exhibits power according to the need of the situation. Even as Krishna, he lifts up the Govardhan hill. Anyway, he's holding all the universes, but he appears as if a little boy. But then, when required, he lifts the Govardhan hill. So there are so many points to be understood about him. He appears in this world. See, the names up to date, they've been talking about various qualities of the Lord, but it's here we're talking about his specific appearance. It's to be understood that he appears by his own will. He's not forced to appear as we are. We come in this world in various situations according to our previous activities, but not he. Not he. He's not under the rule of karma. Namang karmani limpanti, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyam. Krishna's appearance and activities are all transcendental. So the next name, Sriman. Sri means beauty. So he's very beautiful. Nrsimhadev might appear that Nrsimha is not very beautiful. All blood everywhere. Yeah. A lion, very fierce form, and half man, half lion. You don't expect that. But very beautiful. The form of Varaha is very beautiful. You may think, how can a hog be beautiful? But he is. There's a nice, you'll see that painting by B.K. Sharma. He's empowered by Varaha to paint him very beautifully. You can see what a beautiful hog he is. So he's very beautiful. Shri, of course, also means Lakshmi, means Radha. So when we say Shri Krishna, that means Radha Krishna. Shri Narayana means Lakshmi Narayana. And Shri means all opulence. But the commentators, they mostly translate this as, in this context, as charming and beautiful. So all his forms are very beautiful. The next name, Keshava. This is the first of the, in the Vishnu Sahasranama, This is the first of the primary names of Krishna being given. Actually, all names are names of Krishna. You should all worship Shiva, Indra, Brahma, Chandra, Vayu. They're all names of Vishnu. Generally, these are names that are ascribed to different demigods because they're invested with different potencies to perform different functions by Krishna. But ultimately, these names are all names of Krishna. Now, Gaur Purnima is just up ahead. So we worship Gaura Chandra, which literally means golden moon. But we know this means it's not just the golden moon. The moon is golden and shining on the Purnima night. But the real golden moon is Gaura Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this moon is allowed to be moonlike and beautiful just as a tiny reflection of the original beauty of Gaura Chandra. So it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a moon, but the moon is like him. This is how we should understand the name Gaura Chandra. So Keshava is the first of the primary names of Krishna. The names that I use specifically for Krishna, Keshava, Madhava, Govinda, Gopinath, Gopal, Krishna, Hari, Shyamasundara, these are all principal names of Krishna. And the first that appears in this Vishnu Sahasranam is Keshava, which is generally understood to mean one who has beautiful hair, Kesha. It also means the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. It means that Ka means Brahma, Isha means Shiva. So Keshava means one who captivates them by his attractive qualities or who subdues them. This name Keshava will come later in Vishnu Sahasranam also. It said Keshava Keshiha Hari. So Keshava also means the killer of the Keshi demon. Now the next name of course, there may be many, many, many meanings of the names. The next name in the Vishnu Sahasranama is another common and important name, Purushottama. And in many ways, it is the most important name. Because, I mean, what is special about Krishna? Everything's special about him. He is, Purushottama means the supreme person, or the person, the Purusha who is above all other Purushas. So this is the important point to understand. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. This point is to be understood. Who is Krishna? Why are we talking about Krishna? Why are we chanting the name of Krishna? Why are we worshipping Krishna? Why are we exhorting others to do so? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our constitutional position to serve Him. So simply this point has to be understood. The most important name in many ways, especially for the conditioned souls. In Bhagavad Gita, the whole chapter, Purushottama Yoga, the 15th chapter, that name comes there, Yasma Aksharam Atito Ham Aksharad Apichottama atosmi loke vedecha pratita purushottamaha. Because Krishna says, I am superior. Krishna says there are two kinds of purushas, kshara and akshara, fallible and infallible. But because I am superior to both of them, that means the non-liberated and the liberated souls, I am superior to both of them, therefore loke smi, what is that? Loke vedecha, atosmi loke vedecha pratya. In the Shrutis and the Smritis, Krishna is known as Purushottama. So Purush also means the enjoyer. This is another vital point for our understanding. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, because in this world we are trying to be the enjoyer. But Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And we can derive the happiness that we crave by taking our constitutional position in assisting his enjoyment. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. This name is also important, not only for conditioned souls. We don't find it so much in Vraja, in Vrindavan, where devotees tend to think of him as one of them, although they know he's the Supreme Lord in one. But they tend to think of him as one of them. But there he's also the supreme enjoyer, because everyone in Vrindavan, everyone is, they're living for that purpose of Krishna's enjoyment. So all the residents of Vrindavan, although they're very simple village people, but they're expert in making arrangements for Krishna's enjoyment in all kinds of ways, offering nice foods, playing with him, sometimes arguing with him and fighting with him, dressing him very nicely, feeding him very nicely, making arrangements in the forest for little bowers where he can rest after playing or after fighting, massaging him, joking with him. In so many ways, they're expert in arranging for Krishna's enjoyment, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Everyone in Vrindavan is very happy, but they recognize that the center of all happiness is Krishna. Jagannath in Puri is also known as Purushottam. That whole area, Puri, is known as Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Khetra in Uriya. Sometimes known as Sri Khetra, sometimes known as Purushottam Khetra. So you'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to Jagannath as Purushottam. Okay, so I finished that there. The fourth shloka, was it? No, we're going to move on. Yeah, third shloka of Vishnu Sahasranam. You have a question? Is that why you brought this book? Yeah.
In this book, on Lila, I think it's the 89th Lila, Mahavishnu.
89th, 89th chapter. Mahavishnu being eager to see Krishna took away all the sons of the children of the Brahmana as they were born one by one.
Mahavishnu told to Krishna that you are my incarnation.
Like, yeah, Mahavishnu said you are my incarnation. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. But that's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that all the avatars appear through the agency of Mahavishnu. In this world, they expand from him. So Krishna also appears to do so. That's all.
Krishna is the
incarnation. No, no. Mahavishnu is the... Krishna is the original form. But Krishna, when he comes to this world, appears through the agency of Mahavishnu, as if he is an avatar of Vishnu. when he first appeared, from the womb of Devaki, he appeared with a four-handed form, then he assumed a two-handed form. He can do that. Mahavishnu can't do that. Mahavishnu can't take the form of Krishna. Krishna takes the form of Narayana when he was joking with the gopis, but Narayana cannot take the form of Krishna. But he observes the system that he himself has set up. He appears as if an avatar of Vishnu. That's important also for people to understand his greatness. Then you come to me, yeah, Mahavishnu is coming, you come to me. Everyone's calling Krishna. The demigods also, when Krishna was going back to Godhead, Krishna also went, Krishna swadhamo pagate. He went back to his own place. They were also saying, hey, come and visit us. But Krishna closed his eyes and pretended he didn't see them and just went straight up. So everyone's calling Krishna. Shriman Narayanam Devam. Yeah.
And then we address devotee as Shriman.
There's Shriman and Shriman. Yeah, there's a difference. Shriman is for the Supreme Lord. Shrimat. Actually, it's Shrimat. But then it becomes Shriman with Narayana. So, he is a different grammatical form. One is suitable for Vishnu and one is suitable for everyone else. But for Prabhupada, we say Srila, and even for anyone, we'll say Sri Damodar Das. In common usage, Sri anyone, you know, Sri Bharat Gupta. So that. They may have some, doesn't mean that they're Vishnu, Narayana. But whatever qualities in this world are there, they expand from Vishnu. So we say like that. In South India, they say, in Tamil Nadu, they say Tiru, same thing, means Lakshmi, right? So it means that they're to some extent blessed by or have the qualities of opulence or luxury or good qualities. That's all. Doesn't mean that they're Bhagavan. Doesn't mean that we see everyone as Bhagavan. Traditionally, the people would sign their own name, Sri so and so. So, that's a cultural usage, yeah. What is the need of special prayers for Nrisimha Bhagavan or any other prayer if we have the Maha Mantra, which is both glorification and prayer? Actually, there's no need. You can do everything with the Maha Mantra. There's actually no need. You can chant Hare Krishna day and night and everything is fulfilled. But there are other prayers also in which there are specific moods are expressed. Specific remembrance. The Hare Krishna mantra covers all aspects of Krishna's greatness. But then if we want to focus on some particular one, we'll sing Namaste Narasimhaya, remembering the particular form of Narasimha and how he's protecting us. And so that's there also. It's focusing on different tastes within devotional service. Everything, you can do everything with Hare Krishna mantra. Even for puja, you can just chant Hare Krishna. But there are specific mantras also. You can do everything. Even Srila Prabhupada said, It's right there in one of the small books. Prabhupada said you can offer the food. You put the food in front of a picture of Krishna and you say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there are specific prayers for offering bhog, but you can chant Hare Krishna. Everything is complete by the Hare Krishna mantra. But then there are, again, various moods, varieties, like that. Yeah. We say Nitya Lila Pravishta. Actually, we don't say it much because we don't hear that Prabhupada said it. Because Srila Prabhupada had this special mood that my guru is always with me. So he didn't say that. You can say that. Another point is that we don't think that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was ever away from his Nitya Lila. But you can say that also. Yeah, Krishna is always there. But from our perspective, he came to be with us also. Krishna is always in the spiritual world. So, again, everything has to be understood according to Lila. Krishna went back to the spiritual world. It wasn't that the spiritual world was empty when Krishna came. He's always there. But still we say, he's gone back.
Once you gave a lecture about Jnana Yoga in public program.
He? Okay. You have to specify. I mean, how am I supposed to know what you mean by he? Yeah.
He concluded that our chanting process also includes that Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means concentration.
Yeah. Everything is bhakti yoga includes karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. Karma means sweeping the floor. That's karma, is it not? You're doing for Krishna. So it's karma within bhakti yoga. So it's karma yoga. Jnana, you study about Krishna. That's within bhakti. That's jnana yoga. Dhyana yoga, you concentrate, meditate on Krishna. Everything's there in its perfect form. Bhakti yoga includes all other forms of yoga in their perfection. The bhakta is the best karma yogi, best jnana yogi, best dhyana yogi. Well, concentrating on the form of the Lord is generally what it's it's generally what it's understood to mean. But the bhaktas, they concentrate on the nam, gun, roop, lila, on all aspects of the Lord. So their dhyana is more complete. It's a fuller definition and understanding of dhyana yoga is there in bhakti yoga. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.